We're coming to you today with a message from the Scriptures, unvarnished, directed by the Holy Spirit. And we're coming to you with this message if you are one of those who want with all of your heart to follow after Jesus, the Lamb of God. If your desire is to follow Jesus, you'll want to hear what Pastor Jim Kerwin is going to say to you today. We welcome you to Living Water. I'm Pastor Ray Greenlee from the National Prayer Chapel, and our guest again today is Pastor Jim Kerwin, a teacher of the Scripture. He ministered this week in our fellowship, and what richness there was. Welcome, Jim.
It's a blessing to be back, Ray.
Jim, churches are full. The music and drama are comparable with Broadway in their quality. Pastors are well-paid and well-educated. The great evangelists and the televangelists are drawing their crowds, and everybody's saying that, wow, Christians are moving. They're gaining ground for Jesus. And yet we don't seem to be experiencing what happened at Azusa Street. What do you see happening? Why isn't that experience current in the Christian church?
Let me answer that question by asking you a question. When you were a kid, did your folks ever take you on a great American vacation by car where you had to travel cross country to see the sights?
We took a trip in a brand new Ford station wagon before there was air conditioning.
Well, we did it several times when we were kids. And we went cross country twice from New York to
yes.
California and back, and we went to Canada and places like that. There was a dreaded thing that my dad would say, the most dreaded thing that could happen on a trip. Well, no, the second most dreaded thing, because the first most dreaded thing he would say was, if I have to stop this car and come back there, you boys are going to be sorry. All right, but
yes.
But not counting that one, the most dreaded six words that we could hear from my father, who was sitting in the cockpit, was, I think this is a shortcut.
Oh, yes.
All those six words usually led up to a disaster. And getting back to your original question, why don't we see nowadays the power of God, the presence of God, the results in people's hearts that happened at Azusa Street, I think can be summed up in the philosophy of much of the Christian world nowadays, and that is, I think I found a shortcut. And those shortcuts bypass some vital things that God means us to go through. And I fear if we keep taking those shortcuts, which I'll talk about in a second, we're going to hear the other thing that my father used to say. If I have to stop this car and come back there, you boys are going to be sorry. I don't want to hear that from my Heavenly Father. And yet, I fear because of these shortcuts, because we think we have been able to speed up God's process to meet the modern needs and to reach out to folks, we're dealing with a spiritual disaster. For instance, before Jesus could come on the scene and begin to minister, the people needed to be prepared. God spoke through Isaiah 750 years before Jesus was born and said that he was going to send a prophet who was going to prepare the way of the Lord. And the man who fulfilled that prophecy was a strange man by the name of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist didn't have the $1,000 suits. He wore camel's hair. He didn't eat at the most expensive restaurants. It says that his food was locust and wild honey. And he didn't have a sweet, endearing, positive thinking, positive confession message. He said, you'd better repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand and you are going to miss out. And he was pretty specific. He gave people things to do. He told them to stop doing things. And you know what? It wasn't a turnoff. All of the land of Israel came out to hear him, except for the religious people who were well set up, who had their big meeting halls, as it were. I mean, that's a strange thing to call the temple, but who had a vested interest in how things are done. So when Messiah Jesus came on the scene, you had a people prepared. Tens of thousands of people had come down to John the Baptist with this we would call it an unpopular message. We would tell them, oh, John, you can't do that. You're not going to draw a crowd if you tell people how bad they are, that they're under God's judgment, and they need to change the way they're living. Well, so much for popular opinion, because people came to John by the tens of thousands. Hearts were prepared and changed by the tens of thousands. So when Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God, there were so many people who were ready, who were open, who were hungry, who didn't have to have any more preparation to hear and to receive what Jesus was telling them.
If I remember right, John kept talking about two things. He talked about an axe that was ready to cut the root off, and he'd talk about a winnowing fork.
That's right.
And we don't like to think in this term, but a winnowing fork was what was used to throw you up in the air or dash you against a wall.
That's
right. Shake off the chaff.
That's right. To blow away the things that weren't necessary, the part that you couldn't eat, the part that wasn't good for you. And so that process kept going, kept disturbing things, as it were, until what was left was usable.
And
that's a good analogy.
And that's what happened at Azusa Street. They were tossed up in the air time after time as they dealt with their sin until their hearts were pure before God, and then they sought the Holy Spirit's fire, and the fire came.
Exactly. Another shortcut. We talked about this a couple of broadcasts ago, I think. The devil offered Jesus the ultimate shortcut. In the third temptation that it talks about in Matthew, he took him up to the top of a hill, and on top of a mountain, showed him all the glories of this world. And he said, you can have all of this if you'll fall down and worship me. And like I said on that broadcast, I used to think, what a dumb temptation. You're not going to get Jesus to buy into that. Be real. Until I realized the real temptation, the unspoken temptation there, the heart of it was, you can have it all and not have to go to the cross. You can have it all without being in God's will, without doing it God's way, without the difficulty involved. You can bypass it all. You can take a shortcut. This is a shortcut. And Jesus didn't do that, and because of that, he is the author and finisher of our salvation. Many people do a shortcut to get from salvation to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God has decreed that that path go through that cleansing that's called entire sanctification, or some of the older day Christians called it perfect love, where the love of God, the power of the Spirit came in to deal with the root of selfishness and sin so that the Spirit could fill this person and empower them for service.
Are you speaking about sinless perfection?
That is a phrase that even the old holiness people wrestled with, because what they meant by it and what was taken, what their enemies took it to mean was entirely different. Their enemies took it to mean that they felt that they were sinlessly perfect and could not sin. But the holiness people were talking about the perfection of love, that everything was being done out of love for God and man. And because of that love, there wasn't an interest in sinning. It's not that they couldn't sin. It's that they no longer wanted to. The want to was taken out. It wasn't an inability to sin. It was maybe for the first time in their lives, it was an ability not to sin.
See, Jim, where I see the difficulty is that most today who call themselves Christians have an improved flesh relationship with God.
Mm.
In other words, some of the grosser sins have been dropped out of their lives. They've felt some improvement in the quality of life, and they were encouraged to become a follower of Jesus in order to improve their quality of life, to have a better lifestyle. They added this wonderful blessing of eternal life onto an already full and wonderful life. And so then you begin to talk about walking pure-hearted before God, and this is another self-help process then that we have to really begin to work carefully now to weed out those negative traits in our hearts. And we end up having a process that's totally flesh, but we're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I shared at your fellowship, I asked a series of questions of somebody in that state. And I said, now, let me see if I get this straight. You are saved. You say you're saved, but you're not saved from sin. You keep on sinning. You're not saved from the world. You still love the world. You're not saved from selfishness. You're still bound up in self. So what are you saved from? Oh, well, I'm saved from eternal damnation. I'm saved from the judgment of God. So let me get this straight. You're not saved from any of the things that cause you to be under the judgment of God, but you're saved from the judgment of God. What kind of a salvation is that?
Let me ask you, are you saved? Just what is it you've been saved from? Have you been saved from your pride, your love of the world, the lust of your flesh? Have you been saved from the love of money and the lifestyle of the rich and the famous? What have you been saved from, and what have you been saved to? Have you been saved to a life of submission to Jesus, of service in His kingdom? We've been talking with Pastor Jim Kerwin, the author of The Rejected Blessing. If you want to have more of Jesus, call now 703-490-8723. That number again, 703-490-8723. We'll be right back.
Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee would like to invite you to visit our website, livingwaterradio.com, where you can find out more about the National Prayer Chapel and its beliefs. Also, you may download free copies of the messages you have heard on this station. Living Water Radio is a call to revival in our nation's capital. Please join us as we pray for conviction of sin and for judgment unto repentance. Again, we're at livingwaterradio.com.
Welcome back to the second half. We have with us in the studio today Pastor Jim Kerwin. He is an author and has written a book entitled The Rejected Blessing, an untold story of the early days of the Pentecostal movement. This is the clearest explanation I have found regarding what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Azusa Street, and why was the blessing of this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit pushed away from the church? Why was the rejected blessing of entire sanctification lost? I'm sure you'll want to get a copy of this little book. And Jim, how can people get this?
If they have internet access, they can go to the publisher's website. It's www.revivalclassics.com. If they don't have internet access or they want to call the publisher, they can call 763-757-8102.
Let's give them that number again.
All right, that's 763-757-8102.
And you're welcome to contact us here at the National Prayer Chapel, and we'll be happy to help you order a book. It's well worth reading and sharing with friends. This is a blessing that must be brought back into our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we must meet the conditions of God that once more the power and mighty fire of the Holy Spirit can be amongst us. But there are conditions to meet, and many today want to take shortcuts. We're going to talk about that in the second half. But first, Jim, I'd like you to also give us your webpage address.
Oh, for our own Bible teaching ministry, yes. That is www, and then a little bit of a strange name, Parbar Westward. That's P as in Peter, A-R, B as in boy, A-R, West, W-E-S-T, W-A-R-D, parbarwestward.org.
Give that webpage one more time.
www.parbarwestward.org.
And Jim, what will people find on this web?
They will find written Bible teaching by yours truly, but also by people who have influenced my life, one of my spiritual mentors by the name of Percy Guttridge, and some classical writers. They will find some MP3s that they can download for free, various messages, mainly of my mentor, Percy Guttridge, though more of mine are getting up there. And they'll find some links to other interesting Christian sites.
It's a site I enjoy, and I invite you to go to that webpage and read the teaching. Let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart. Jim is a Bible teacher. Let's go back now and talk about shortcuts.
Oh, yes.
Jim, what other shortcuts do you see that we've tried to take that have gotten us well lost?
The scariest shortcut to me is the shortcut that tries to bypass what is necessary to have the Holy Spirit's manifest presence in our churches. We somehow have, not every church, of course, but it seems like the bigger, more well-known, more popular churches have gone to, I want to call it an Entertainment Tonight format. If you go to these places, if you want entertainment, if you want a floor show, if you want motivational speaking, if you want what one pastor called shock and awe, if you want to hear the pastor's ego trip, but if you're seeking God and want a pure heart, you want a relationship with Jesus that's close, you want to hear the Word of God unfolded in its full, unvarnished truth, if you want to hear the Word of God straight up, those places are much harder to find. We're trying to entertain people into the kingdom. So what we do is we pension off the Holy Spirit. We mention Him. We talk about His presence in the meeting, but His presence is never there to bring people under conviction, to have them deal with their sin, to have them look only to Jesus, to have them do away with sin and worldliness, to challenge them to follow after Jesus Christ with all their hearts. No other baggage.
I have to tell you, Jim, as a pastor, how many times people have come to the National Prayer Chapel attracted by the name, thinking that this is going to be a wonderful experience, only to have the arrows of the Holy Spirit pierce their heart, and they have fled, and we've never seen them again.
Well, at least you know that they've heard the truth, and they know it. And if there comes a time when they are ready to start getting real with God, National Prayer Chapel is probably the place they'll come back to, because they know they heard the Word straight up there, unvarnished, unsweetened, and that the people there are seeking God with all their hearts.
So let's talk about what is the real price for following Jesus.
Well, no. Why would you even talk about a price? I mean, it isn't God in the business of just giving us everything for free? You know, of course, I'm being facetious. We are in a place, it's interesting, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus is talking to various churches, and the church of the seven that he addresses that seems to be most like we are today as a whole is the church of Laodicea. And they are very positive thinking, positive confession oriented. And to them, Jesus says, look, I know your deeds. I know the way you really live. I know that you aren't cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm going to, and the word in the Greek is really much stronger than the translation, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. I mean, that sounds like so many of the messages I've heard in the churches around where I live in the Tidewater, Chesapeake, Virginia Beach area. And Jesus said, you don't know your real estate. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. Now, what does that have to do with cost? The very next thing he says is something you wouldn't expect. He says, I counsel you to buy of me. And then he lists some things. I counsel you to buy of me gold that's really refined in the fire so that you can become truly rich, meaning spiritually, white garments so that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness, your spiritual nakedness, isn't revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see.
And he's saying buy these things.
He's saying buy it. In other words, there's a cost involved. It's not just handed over to you, especially because you got the way you are, the way Jesus has judged us, by rebellion and disobedience, as a supposedly born-again Christian, living your own way, not taking up the cross, not following yourself, not trying to overcome sin, but going along and getting along with the world. So the counsel is, it's going to cost you something. I need you to buy this stuff from me. I counsel you to buy from me the Lord is going to take people to task in a loving way. See what he's, I mean, there is love here. See the next verse. Those I love, I rebuke, I reprove, I discipline. Please be zealous.
So would it be safe to say that if you're not being rebuked by the Lord for your sin, you're not loved by the Lord?
I don't think we can say ultimately that God doesn't love anyone, but God's love is going to be manifest. And if you want to know God's real love, if you're living that way and you want to know God's real love, Jesus is saying, those I love, those I really care about, those I want to see drawn out of this whole mess, I'm going to rebuke and chasten. Now, supposedly that message doesn't preach, but you know what? For people who are honest-hearted and say, wait a minute, that's the Jesus I remember from Scripture. That's not the Jesus I'm hearing in the Sunday morning entertainment, but that's the Jesus I remember reading about in the New Testament. Very loving, but very hard on sin.
Yes.
Requiring the ultimate sacrifice. What does it cost to follow Jesus? Everything.
So what do you mean when you say everything?
I mean you give up the right to have the last say in your life. Instead of the message you're hearing, oh, God has a wonderful destiny for you and all this self-affirming blather, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, it costs everything. Take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me, obey me.
So what do you do with Simon Magus?
Simon Magus is a character we find in Acts chapter 8. He lived in a town called Samaria. He was the sort of motivational guru, the magician, the people, the popular person everybody looked to in that town until the gospel was preached and people got converted. And the apostles Peter and John came up to Samaria and began to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. And because there'd been a thorough work of repentance and conversion in their hearts, these people came into an experience of God's presence and love like nothing anyone had ever seen there before could even imagine. Simon Magus was blown away partly because what he had was kind of smoke and mirrors and motivational stuff. And what he was seeing coming from the apostles was the genuine presence and power of God. He went to them and said, what do I have to pay to be able to do what you guys are doing, to draw the crowds, to get people back to my church, as it were? I'm putting a little spin on the story, but that's what he said. And Peter didn't say, oh, well, come to my seminar and I'll teach you what you need to know for fantastic church growth. I'll teach you these five steps that guarantee to double your attendance in 18 months and you can call yourself an apostle and all of that. Peter was incensed and he had the anger of God rise up in him and he said, your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. In the context of what we're talking about here, he's saying, you thought with money you could take a shortcut, that you didn't have to go through all of the things that Jesus requires for you to have a successful church and following.
What's the promise?
The promise is that God will come, save us from our sins, save us from the sin within us that motivates us to sin, and that we will know the presence, the power, the joy of God's presence and power, be able to follow Jesus Christ and to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Why would you want a shortcut around anything that would cut you off from that wonderful promise?
That wonderful promise of the love of Jesus is for you. If you will deny yourself today and take up your cross and follow him. We've been talking with Jim Kerwin, the author of The Rejected Blessing. You're welcome to call us at 703-490-8723. That number again, 703-490-8723.
Thank you for listening to Living Water. We trust this message has been a blessing to you. And if you would like a free MP3 copy of today's audio, go to livingwaterradio.com. Click the free audio download tab to select the message, or mail to P.O. Box 2346 Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. That's P.O. Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. And join us again for more Living Water.